Good morning, and hello, welcome to the Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy Faye Solomon, your host. Today is January 29th, Wednesday. I am broadcasting live out of Studio132.com in the Oakland Hills of California with BZ Lewis, our esteemed engineer and six-time Emmy winner. And I'm delighted to have Maria Karim in the studio with me today. And let me cut out my echo here. Okay. And today we're talking about women, keeping women engaged in STEM careers, being a woman in technology, and the She's Geeky Conference this past weekend, and various other things having to do with managing products, innovation, product excellence, startups, methodology, and this is what we do every week. The Global Product Management Talk is a top 10 business podcast on the Blog Talk Radio Network. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/prodmgmttalk. That is our Twitter handle. Follow us at PRODMGMTTALK. You can follow me, Cindy Faye Solomon, at Cindy, CANDYF, Solomon, SOLOMON, on Twitter. If you are tweeting today, use the hashtag pound, PRODMGMTTALK, and a shout out to all the participants at the Twitter for Business class in Oakland last night, where I taught them about hashtags and how to follow a Twitter chat. So, the Global Product Management Talk is brought to you weekly by sponsors, and if you would like to be a sponsor, get in touch with me at cindy@startupproduct. This week we're brought to you by the AIPMM, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. Founded in 1998, the AIPMM promotes worldwide excellence in product management education with training, certification, networking, digital classes, providing corporate members an assurance that their product professionals are operating at peak performance. They are the only worldwide certifying body of product management professionals. You can find them on the web at AIPMM.com. Startup Product Academy is the startupproduct.com movement for product excellence, forwarding product leaders with innovative approaches and continuous learning opportunities. Check out the calendar of upcoming events at startupproduct.com. Next week, we are welcoming Woody Zuhl at Twitter, being hosted by Twitter, Startup Product Talk San Francisco. You can find them at sfproducttalks.com if you want to join us at Twitter headquarters to meet Woody Zuhl and his mod programming team. Go to sfproducttalks.com and register on the Eventbrite. It is free, but you have to register formally to get into the Twitter building and to come up to the event. Also, Woody is giving a class, an all-day training in how to do mob programming in San Francisco next week. You can find out about it at startupproduct.com on the calendar. It's also posted at sfproducts.com. And you can register, and if you use the code Cindy, you'll get $100 off that course. So let's see, what else is coming up? Newly launched is the Webcast Digest, available on the web at Webcast Digest on Twitter. And this is daily curated digital events for your continuous learning about industries, software vendors. We are combing the web for all of the webcast, webinar, and free online digital events, capturing them into a daily calendar So you can find out on 8 categories what you're interested in. And as a busy person, you can get that free learning on demand. You just have to become a member. Go to startupproduct.com/webcast for only $5 a month, and you will get access to up to 20 events daily. You can plan ahead. As we find those events, we post them on the web. If you would like to sponsor a webcast or sponsor the Webcast Digest, get in touch with me to be showcased to all the people who are accessing that information. Thank you to Sprintly. Don't ask how it's going. Watch how it's going with Sprint.ly. You can find them on the web. Sprint.ly, bringing the entire corporation to the software development process by showing managers and non-engineers top-level view of what programmers are doing. Get 10% off with code PRODMGMTTALK2013. Okay, thank you to BlameSally.com for the music. They're at BlameSally. And what other news? If you'd like to show your love for the Global Product Management Talk, you can go to startupproduct.com under broadcasts, and there is a place where you can show us your support. There is also archives of over 100 episodes available on Blog Talk Radio, also on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on the Android mobile app. Just search for PRODMGMTTALK in the Google Play Store to download that app, and you will get the weekly podcast and all the past ones. The same on iTunes at PRODMGMTTALK. Okay, one more thing. There is an Indiegogo for a short film called Sleeplessness. I happen to know personally the people involved, the director, the artist, all the new music that's involved with this film. Find them on Indiegogo. Search for Sleeplessness. It's a 15-minute treatment of a full-length film for these new artists. Show them some love so they can get the film made. They're using actual film, which is unheard of these days and very expensive. So that's Sleeplessness, a short film on Indiegogo. All right, so today I'm delighted to have Maria Karim, who is an international project delivery manager with British Telecom, here live in the studio. I met Maria this past weekend at the She's Geeky Conference, which was held at the Microsoft Mountain View campus. It was 3 days of women from STEM industries, which encompass science, technology, engineering, math, and everything in between, representing, and they're just, it was an unconference done in the open source technology, open space technology, where we were all in a room, and whoever wanted to give a presentation stood up, talked about it, and it kind of self-organized. It was pretty amazing. And I thought it was very interesting because I've been involved with Product Camp on conferences. And there, it's also an unconference. Anyone can present, but we plan ahead of time. People put up their presentations, and we vote ahead of time. So when we get there, we already have assigned rooms. And I would love to try and do a unconference about a specific, you know, startup product in the open source. But it was very interesting. So people were trying to plan the day ahead, but from one scheduled time to the next. Yes. So Maria, I haven't we're still in the intro, but Maria, yes, you can talk.
Yeah. Hi, hello, welcome. Good Thanks morning or good afternoon, depending where you're listening. It's a pleasure to be here today.
So I noticed in the morning that people were looking at the schedule on the board, and they were writing down all the ones they wanted to go to. And someone said, no, just go to the first one. There's the rule of 2 feet. If you don't like it, you can walk out and find another one, or you could just roam from room to room or group to group. And they were like, no, I'm a J person. I need to plan ahead. I need to write it down. And then I realized, so the open source way of doing it may not work for every type of professional, because some people are planners, mm-hmm. and they're very uncomfortable with something so fluid.
Yeah, well, the great thing about this conference, right, is the fact that depending on who you are, if you're a butterfly, and they invited butterflies, that means you don't really want to go anywhere. You just kind of go around through whatever you're interested. You listen in, and you're out in the hallway. You're not even in a specific room. Or there's the bees, that where you go to room to room and you pollinize, right? You bring in a topic, and you go to another area, and, you know, talk about something different. So they did kind of want to invite any type of matters that you wanted to, you know, what kind of what you want to really be involved in. So it was very great that to see that depending what topic you wanted to be involved or what you really wanted to get out of it, you had that freedom to do so. So it's unstructured, but it's structured at the same time.
And it was very inclusive in that way. And it all came out of, gosh, I don't know who the founder of this idea, but they talked about it at the beginning, and he realized that where the real connections happened at conferences were in between the formal presentations.
At the coffee shop,
in the hallways, mm-hmm. in the bathroom. That's where people were really connecting and making deals and, you know, really collaborating with each other. So the intention was to create the whole conference like the in-betweens.
Definitely. And one of their actual principles were, you know, whatever time it starts, it starts. Or whoever's there is the right people.
Yes.
And whenever it finishes, it finishes. You don't have to be kind of like when you're forced in a conference to be in an hour with people that you're not really interested in their topic or that doesn't benefit you. So here you have the liberty to get up and just go to where or talk to that person who you really want to talk to.
Yes. So, and at the beginning, we all stood up and said, I'm geeky because why I'm here. And so we got to hear from every participant that was in the room before we even broke into segments. And so let me tell you about Maria, because you impressed me from the moment you stood up. So Maria, okay, hold on. Is a native Ecuadorian whose parents migrated to the United States in the early 80s. She was raised in New Jersey and holds a Bachelor's of Science in Computer Engineering with a minor in Applied Mathematics from the New Jersey Institute of Technology, where she graduated at the top of her class and received various honors, including ambassador to high school students. She worked at IBM, holding multiple positions in microprocessor development while still an undergraduate. She currently holds the role of International Project Delivery Manager at British Telecom, where she's been for over 6 years. Her expertise covers telecommunications, software development, as well as hardware. And you can follow her on Twitter at Karim Solutions. That's KarimSolutions. So what would you like, do you want to add anything to that? I know you have a fantastic personal story and journey, which I'd love to hear about as well.
Yeah, so one thing to say, I am new to Twitter. Actually, at the Geeky Conference, I was encouraged to go on Twitter. So I am a new Twitter enrollee. It's just actually on Saturday, which I was motivated to do so. And it's an amazing way to connect, because at the networking event, we met so many different people from so many different backgrounds and expertise. So that was really amazing. So a little bit something that you said, I'm actually new to the Bay Area. I come from New Jersey. I did do my undergrad at NGIT. And I did want to talk a little bit about how do we
How do you get to the point where you say, I want to be an engineer, or I want to be involved in a science degree? Because depending on where you come from, or what middle school, because it happens really on in your life, middle school, even to high school, what you're exposed to, and what kind of programs the school has that kind of triggers to say, you know what, I want to go to this type of field at this college. Because depending on the college you go to, they have different expertise. So I think it's so vital, and that's was one of the key things at the Geeky Conference, was how do we get more people involved and interested in these type of roles, and women especially, young girls, minorities, how do we get them interested in these classes? Because when I went to school back in, you know, the early 2000s, I was in classes full of men, full of boys. Even now with working, most of my conferences are men in there. So how do we get more women into these fields?
Right. And I always say, look, my kids, both their parents were, you know, involved with computers, software, hardware, and they weren't interested in pursuing it as a career, but they use them as tools in what they're doing. So it has forwarded their careers, but they weren't interested in studying it or, you know, because which you would think is not the best way, immerse them for day one. But they actually tell me, yes, we use computers in our daily life, mm-hmm. but we care about using them for our, you know, what we're pursuing, as opposed to developing new software.
Correct. But I think the great thing, too, to interest kids, and especially with the generation now, right, they're all playing video games. And they're all into the whole, and you know, everyone has an iPad or a tablet. And letting them know that it doesn't take for you to be a genius to actually develop that. It's actually pretty simple. A lot of to develop an application, it's like drag and drop. They make it so easy, but a lot of times a child might think that it's so complex, such a complex realm that they can't do that. They can't design that. So, but if they have that exposure, and depending what it is, and I don't think everyone, I mean, you know, this is the field for them, but at least I think that everyone should be exposed to it for them to say, you know what, that's not for me.
And this is why I love the maker movement. I don't know if you're familiar with Maker Faires, but it's a big trade show, and it's everyone who likes tinkering with any type of, you know, and that's where I found out about the Arduino. There was actually someone there from the Tech Museum in mm-hmm. San Francisco who was wearing these those glasses.
Okay.
That were vibrating LED lights.
Oh, I have.
And it was driven by the Arduino. It was so cool. So that's a way to expose to get kids into it from how fun it is.
Definitely.
So, you know, and there's even now, like, there's Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. There's now programs. There's Black Girls Who Code. There's other coding things for kids.
Mm-hmm.
So they can actually join a group where they learn how to code, or they're exposed to making things
Correct.
From scratch.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, I think it's really amazing when you have those facilities around you to do that. But I'm really interested in the reason that I'm moving forward, and I want to pay it forward to what I've been exposed to, is because there's a lot of different areas, and I'm not just talking about in the United States. I'm talking about South America, globally, where they don't have an internet. You know, for them to know the weather, they for them to be able to go online and check the weather for the next 5 days, it could be impacting for their family, their farmers. So, and for them to have to bring the technology, and a lot of times I think we're spoiled, right, where we live, in the bubble that we lived, we have everything. We have, you know, Wi-Fi, you know, we have all these neat things disposable to our hands. But when we're thinking about outside our bubble, globally, these countries, I want to make sure, how could we get internet and technology to them? How could they get exposed? Because there's a lot of areas that aren't exposed to what we have, what we're privileged to.
Right. And so, you know what, thanks for pointing out this is a global product management talk. This does reach worldwide. There are listeners worldwide. And you're welcome to join us live. If you'd like to call in to the show to talk with myself and Maria, the phone number to call in is 323-927-2957. So if you have a question about being a woman in STEM, or if you want to contribute to what we're talking about, if you have a direct experience, again, you're welcome to call in right now to 323-927-2957. And BZ will meet you on the phone and bring you into the call. And I also do want to say that if you are listening live, there is a delay on the internet, and I think we might have had a little tech problems at the front of the show. So if you are listening live, the best experience so you don't get a delay is to call in to 323-927-2957. Listen right through your phone so you get the best quality experience and you're listening live, and you don't have to talk if you don't want to. And I am trying to tweet out some questions we prepared about mentoring and getting into STEM, as well as the other experiences that Maria has working in a global role remotely. So, okay.
And please call in. Ask any questions. I won't bite, I promise. I'm very excited to be here. And definitely, it could be what we're talking about or any questions at all that you have. Please, put your questions on Twitter or call in.
And then the beauty of this is the conversation continues on demand afterwards. So people can listen to the show afterwards, and then they can continue to tweet and have the conversation. And that's what I love about Twitter. And I it was so exciting last night. I turned 30 people on to Twitter and how to use it in their business and professionals. And I forget, because I've been using this for a while. Gosh, I think we're going on 3 years of doing this Twitter chat, the Global Product Management Talk. It started as a tweet, and now it's this broadcast. So I forget what the experience is at the beginning. And, the more you want to invest in learning how to use Twitter, the more it extends your reach and the audience. And it doesn't have to happen live.
Yeah, I definitely like the Twitter. I'm a expert, you could call, quote unquote, on Facebook, and I did create a page just recently as well. But what I noticed is they limit who with the exposure you get, and they're really driving into advertising and paying to really get your whatever post out. And this is something that I'm so happy that now I'm on Twitter, because there's not that focus of you having to pay for promotion. I just want everything to be organic, or talk to those individuals that are interested in the same topic that I am in.
Right. And that was really how this all started. And I'm always looking for ways to extend reach, to do product marketing, and to be efficient in a lean way when you don't have resources, when you are bootstrapping or a startup. How do you get an audience or interest without paying for it? But look, companies have to monetize, and they're definitely, Twitter is moving in that direction. But I hope that they allow the big companies to pay for advertising to enable people to continue to use it as a powerful platform it is. So, great. So how were you exposed to engineering and programming?
Well, actually, I had an uncle who was a programmer, and right in middle school, my counselors said, hey, so what do you want to do when you go to high school? You have great academics. We want to put you in honors classes. But thankfully, my community in the town that I was in, which is Elizabeth, New Jersey, their high school, it was like a college. They had over thousands of students, and they actually had a structure where there's different houses where if you wanted to be a mechanic, that you got a certificate and you went to a specialty kind of house, Edison House. Or if you wanted to be a hairstylist, you would go to the Edison House, and it would be very concentrated education. Now, if you wanted to go to college or university and further your education, you went to the Jefferson House. And if you have any specialties as singing or arts, and then they structure your 4 years of high school in a way for you to make sure that you could get into a university. And my electives was computers. So one of my first classes was basic coding, you know, Hello World, bright and freshman of high school.
Basic. The literally basic.
Fortran.
Right. I learned Fortran also very young in high school.
Yes. Yeah,
but
so,
now who is really using Fortran? Maybe scientists.
No, they are actually.
Really?
A lot of people.
Still?
It's really, well, they use, well, they're not using it, but they want to convert it, right? Because it's so ancient.
Right.
You have to convert it. Actually, one of my projects out when I was working for Picatinny Arsenal for the government for as a software engineer for them, one of my projects was to convert Fortran into C++. Because
oh, wow.
So it does benefit you having that knowledge or learning it. And so it's always good to start from zero because you never know in your career when you need it.
Sure, to have a foundation, because the more exposure you have to different languages and also to fundamentals,
mm-hmm.
the more you can apply it.
Correct.
And generalize it out. Although, you know, how difficult was that to convert Fortran into C++?
It wasn't that much. But one thing that I do that I want to see more focus, and I call it peckers because I have a son myself right now. He's 13 years old. And seeing him, and I think it's such an embarrassment. I say, you cannot be a pecker on the computer.
Type?
Well, I call him pecker. He uses a couple fingers, but it's critical. And I remember when I went to school as a freshman in high school, I had a class because I was put in the quote-unquote computer route to learn how to type. I think that should be a requirement for everyone.
Yeah, I thought these days they did teach typing, you know, early on. I guess it depends on the school system.
It does.
But I know that my kids can type, and I didn't teach them unless they just got it through osmosis. Because see, for me, I've always been a very fast typist.
Mm-hmm.
But my son laughs. He just got a manual computer, manual pre-computer, a typewriter. And he was all excited about this manual typewriter. And
oh,
I was
wow.
like, wait a minute. I got rid of those. Why would you want it? And he's so into the experience.
Those.
Yes, you have to press each letter one at a time. And if you go too fast, the letters all get messed up together.
Oh, my
and it's
goodness.
Just going onto one piece of paper. And
oh, wow.
So he's totally into the experience of actually creating the art. You know, he doesn't like the digital. He feels that digitizing makes everything flat and takes you away from the actual experience of creating. So
that's interesting.
It's totally, it's sort of like, he's going way back to,
yeah.
he brings me way back to the beginning.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. And I mean, it does, you have to really concentrate. It's like instead of writing in pencil, you're writing in pencil. Because
exactly. it's more crayon, I think. Going back that far to those old computers. I mean, for me, look, the electric computers and the electronic, they were all improvements enabling you to do the same thing faster and more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
But for him, it's not just the end result, it's the experience of doing it. So he's writing prose, he's writing songs,
okay.
and so it's a creative process for him that it connects to his. So he's not just using it to get information out. He's using
it's
it
art.
To create the information.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's a form of
yeah.
art, definitely.
Exactly. Yeah, and he probably doesn't even consider it information. He's sharing his experience, you know. Yes. Totally, it's the artistic experience. So, awesome. So how did mentors affect your career choice and progression? And we've talked about the importance of mentors for product managers because they're often the only person in the organization managing the product from a strategic, holistic point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel alone and they often are working cross-functionally. And so I'm always, you know, saying find someone who's been in your position, if not in your organization, another organization, so when you get up against things or the engineers are telling you no or the sales are telling you, oh, you know, build this feature because uh-huh. we already sold it and you have to get out in front of people and, you know, really put your foot down. But, you know, find a mentor so you know that this is well-traveled a road. You're not the first one on it.
No,
but how do you find the mentor?
I think I say you're never too early to find a mentor. And I think you really should have three mentors. The more the merrier, right? But it's not quantity, it's quality. And I think as young as being in middle school, high school, if you find someone, because we always have a mentor, we always have someone we look up to, right? And it enables you to form that relationship. And I think if you even do quarterly meetups, you know, meet with that person to guide you. And the reason I say have three is because to have that balance, to have one that you could talk about your personal life, what you really what you want for yourself, which is not both personally and career-wise. And then I say have another one because of academics, if you're still in the academia as, you know, an undergrad or master's, to have someone that knows the ropes in the academia world, and then also have one professionally, like you stated, either someone who has done your role and has moved on within the organization, or someone in another organization that you could kind of gather and collaborate when you have an issue. How do you persuade the engineer who's telling you, no, you cannot do this, or we have system limitations? Like, because there's so many different aspects of kind of roadblocks that you could face in your career. So I think it's definitely a balance of finding the right person that could keep you motivated and give you that push when you say, hey, I don't think I could do this, or they're telling me no. So I definitely think mentors in your life, it's crucial.
Okay, so I'm tweeting out, it's important to find people who push you past your barriers, fears, and obstacles.
No, definitely. Even especially in your career when you're starting off, you're like, what do you want? Oh, my. Okay, I got the job. I'm working at Microsoft. I'm working at Google. Whatever your dream job is. Let's say you got that job. Now what? You know, what are the steps to really, you know, build your career? And
right.
So you need that. Not just, you know, you have your colleagues, but also have someone. I always say find a mentor that has the job that you want. And how did they do it? And there's no specific A to Z route. No, everyone has their own avenue, but at least you have kind of like a footprint, a guidance of how they did it. And then I always say, take things with a grain of salt. So whatever benefits you and you could apply for your life, do it. And then disregard what doesn't apply to you. Because what works for one person doesn't work for another.
Excellent. But you have to be a certain kind of person as a very young person who isn't intimidated by adults or older people and has some balls, I don't know how to translate them, to go up to someone and ask, hey, will you invest in me? Will you give me your time or interest because I'm asking you?
You'd be amazed what an honor that is. You would be amazed. I remember I was scared myself. Like, oh my God, if I go up to the CEO, right, and tell him I want him to be my mentor, what is he going to say? And you know what? They feel honored and privileged. Could you be amazed how many people are not asking? You know, not asking for that guidance. And the fact that you could get, even if it's a half an hour block in a quarter meeting every 3 months that you meet with that individual, not only are you absorbing information for your guidance, but they're also extracting information from you. Because you're now sharing different points of view. Where sometimes because of layers in the organization, a lot of times when you're up in the executive level, you don't get to see the some of the other layers that, you know, because of the different layers, you don't get to see the impact. So it's really an honor. And I always say you would be surprised the fact that it's a privilege to them, even though you might be scared to do it and how to do it, right? How do we do it? How do we start this up? And I always say, if you don't know something, Google it. there's always information out in the internet or YouTube it, and you'll learn how to do it. But basically, my biggest recommendation is formally meeting someone, either if it's a town hall meeting or whatever they're holding, or wherever this person is speaking that you're interested. If it's a professor, someone in your career, or someone that you don't physically know but you really follow them, you know, and send them an email, find their email information, and start a conversation. Not just say, could you be my mentor? That should not be the first thing. You know, form something that why of interest to them, so you form that conversation. As a matter of fact, you bring up a good point. There was a book I read, how to have a 4-hour work week.
And Tim Ferriss.
Oh, I love him. And in Princeton, the professor, one of the assignments was find someone that you admire. Is it, for example, let's say if Steve Jobs was still alive and you wanted to talk to Steve Jobs, find his email. That was your mission, your assignment.
So that's what's cool. By the way, that's what's cool about Twitter, that you could tweet anyone who's on Twitter, including founders. And at least I find in the tech industry, people are managing their own Twitter accounts. Mm-hmm. Unless they're a brand or, you know, they have a big social media play, but you can tweet to CEOs. You can tweet to the person and ask them, publicly, would you be a mentor?
Oh,
and then blog about what your process or mm-hmm. experience was about even doing that tweet, doing that ask, and then what the follow-up. It's kind of like shaming them into responding to you.
I would say email them. I honestly say do the work, research their email.
Oh, totally. Research to make sure this is the right person.
Exactly.
And then tell them why.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you choosing them? What you would like, you know, why you appreciate what they have to contribute.
Correct. Yes, and definitely. So I would say email them and start with a conversation, not just the first, I want you to mentor me. Basically, even, Sheryl Sandberg, she, in her book, right, Lean In, she talked about a lot of times, you know, just don't ask me to be your mentor if I've never met you, right? Because someone asked her that, she's like, you must have not read my book.
Right.
So you have
and that's true of any type of relationship. You can't, and that's why it's great to go to conferences, and on conferences, you meet people firsthand, you have an interaction, and then you follow through. Well, that's sort of, I guess, the 101s, right, to developing relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Cold, and this happens to me on LinkedIn, too. People will say, hey, I'm an open connector. I will connect with anyone who wants to on LinkedIn. On Twitter, I curate more.
Okay.
And on LinkedIn, there's ways to curate deeper. But that's how I grew a big following. I just followed the people who had 20 million followers on LinkedIn, and they said, we're open.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So I kind of follow, you know, I learned from them. But people will connect with me on LinkedIn and say, hey, will you give me a referral? And I'm like, I don't know you.
Wow.
How can I give you a
referral? That is ballsy.
I'm happy to support, and especially people coming into product management. But these are like, they just sent out a automatic to everyone they're connected with. And I'm like,
organic.
I'm happy to connect without any, you know, I don't have to have met you personally. But to move beyond that, we have to have a personal interaction, because otherwise my referral wouldn't be worth anything.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it has to be an organic relationship. And the bottom line is you want to extract something, and that individual, too, wants to learn from you. So it's definitely a two-way, you know, a two-way investment. And I always say, it's never too early in your career, in your life, to find that mentor. And don't be shy. Just ask, what's the worst that could happen? And actually, at the conference, we were talking about ask. Have the balls to ask.
There were several sessions. Were you there Saturday and Sunday?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I was too, and it started Friday. But on Saturday, it was that woman from Microsoft, and I connected with her. She's awesome.
Shelly? Or Christine? There was a couple women.
I have to open my email to see my email exchanges. My brain is shut down right now. I apologize, listeners. But they did a session on how women are afraid to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing to me the range of women who showed up in this very lively discussion, because, you know, I looked around and I thought, well, those people, look at how accomplished they are.
Mm-hmm.
How could they be afraid to ask? And it was just so interesting, that there's a range of perspectives, but a similar thing, that it's almost built into us, that women think we should know everything, we should figure it out, and we should have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have to ask, that is a reflection on we don't know, or we're not good enough, when it seems like men don't have it framed that way at all.
Yeah, I always think in my mind, if I ask, what's the worst that could happen? My arms, I'm not going to lose an arm. I'm not going to lose a leg. They could say no. And that's it. And then, you know, so I always say, ask, don't be afraid. And I was one of those type of people that in anything, in a meeting and anything that I go to, I'm involved, I'm in right in the front. And I'm raising my hand. I'm the first one to raise a hand. If I don't understand something, I want clarity. Could you elaborate? Could you clarify? And ask, because nothing's going to happen, if I do ask that question.
Right. I mean, what's going to happen if they say no? They now know who you are, or they've had one interaction with you.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And it's probably not personal to you. It's a timing issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's something else that you have no idea, so you go on and ask the next person. Now, salespeople can do that and deal with rejection. But, you know, I find it's difficult. I have to be in the mood. I have to be revved up. You know, I have to be focused on just asking and moving on and not invested in what the response is.
Correct. And I am actually dealing with rejection right now. I'm trying to get my, I really want to. And I said, actually I was invited to this, event as an alumni, and I'm also in SHEP, the Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers. I was in the executive board and very highly involved when I was an undergrad.
Wait, you're going very fast.
Sorry.
Slow down. What is SHEP?
SHEP is Society of Hispanic Professional Engineers.
Excellent.
And it's depending on the regionals and, depending on the chapters, they're in different colleges. Like, I was from New Jersey, so they had a chapter in NGIT, Stevens has a chapter, Rutgers has a chapter, and so forth. They have chapters here. So this is where women, Hispanic women, connect. And I was involved in the executive board as an undergrad. And I was invited back last year before I came to California to come speak to undergrad as an alumni and as an ex-SHEP member. I have to renew my membership to speak about, you know, what I'm doing in my career and how I got there. And one thing that I talked to them about, and they were like, well, what do you want to do next? And it got me pondering of what I wanted to do. And I was like, you know what? I think I want to publish a story. You know, I think it would be so beneficial for people to learn of what I've been exposed to. And not only that, evolving my techie life, right, or my geeky Maria, but also the fact that I was a teen mom. I was a young mother balancing going to finishing high school, doing my undergrad with a baby, and being able to continue and have that motivation. Like, how did I do it?
Right. So you were a teen mom.
Yes, I was.
In honors classes.
Yes.
Studying math and science advanced in high school when you had a baby.
Yes, and it was one of the most disappointing things. Until this day, I feel such an embarrassment that I, you know, like, oh, my, I was a failure. I got pregnant, you know.
Wait a minute. You were doing well in high school, and you had a baby. That's amazing because it blows out all of the stigma and all of the assumptions about who teen mothers are,
mm-hmm.
what they're capable of, and that they threw away their future.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And all the stigmas and the prejudice. You're a walking role model for
thank you, Cindy.
For you can be in STEM and be a teen mother and be successful. That's so awesome.
No,
it's like what? So if you could do that, nothing could stop you.
I think anyone has, like I say, anyone could do anything in this world as long as you have that drive and motivation. Because I remember I felt as a failure. I failed my parents. I failed God. You know, how I'm supposed to be quote unquote smart girl here. How did I get pregnant? And the fact that, you know, I come from a culture that is an abstinence, you know, it's something very holy, you know, it's, you have to get married and that was it, you know, and it was taboo to talk about, you know, SEX. You cannot talk about that. That's very taboo. And it's something that the reason I'm coming out of my shell and coming out of the closet, quote unquote, is because I think so many people could benefit. And I think we're in a generation now that it's not a taboo. I think women, girls have to be educated on protection. And if that does happen, unfortunately, if let's say you are in that situation, what could you do? And how could you keep your career and your desires going? You're not a failure. You don't have to go on welfare or stop your desires because you have a baby.
Right. Wow. So you were pregnant in what grade? I'm sorry. This is amazing to me. Do we talk about personal important issues at this level on the Global Product Management Talk? So this is awesome. Thank you.
Well, I was pregnant in my junior year of high school. So I had Abdul June 2000. I had him my whole senior year. So I was pregnant junior year, had him, full baby boy by senior year of high school, and so he turned one by the time I started college. And thankfully, I had a full ride. I got a full ride to NJIT through the Education Opportunity Program, and also I was enrolled in their Albert Dorman Honors College, which was fascinating.
Wow. Okay, and went on to college.
So yeah, you could do it all. You have to just have that determination. And for all the type of listeners, it depends, women feeling down on themselves or failure. You could always turn that around to something positive. If you got laid off, if you get fired, don't put that blame on yourself. Why me? And get yourself on that hole. Why can I succeed, or why is this happening to me? I think whatever your situation is, you could turn it around and see the positive of it and keep moving forward. If one door closes, others will open. So I know a lot of women, especially in technology, those situations happen. If you're in a startup and it's not going the way you wanted it to, or you're trying to develop a product and it's not, it's not happening. Sometimes I feel that things happen for a reason, and whatever bumps in the road you have, they're there so you could be stronger. So the next time you build it better.
Excellent. Yes. So life experiences totally forward you in your career. Gosh. And right, this is what we're all always talking about in startups and being able to pivot. Gosh, that was an extreme pivot. but being able to be agile, I mean, you're making a point for how inherently agile women are and mothers have to be.
Mm-hmm. And we have to wear different hats, right? We have to, I call it the juggling act. How do you put yourself in a space to be a mom, to be a full-time employee, to work on projects, to give back to the community, because I think giving back is so important, and paying it forward. Like, how do you do this, right? How do you balance all this out and be successful? So I always say is you could do it. You just have to structure your days very structured. I mean, I, with my husband, have a shared calendar. He has to invite me for dinner when we want to make sure we have that quality time. And that's how it has to be managed, and that's how you could wear different hats and be successful at it, then that's how it has to be. And whenever I'm somewhere, I'm giving them my undivided attention. I have to be present. And that's something, another thing that we touched about on the weekend, is turning off your cell phones, unless you were tweeting, right, about the event. But turning off those cell phones and listening to that person in front of you, giving that person, I say, respect, that we so much in this generation forget. We're constantly in the BART station now, like you're there and you never know who's next to you. That could be that person you need to meet, but people are so busy on their cell phones, reading this or reading that. Sometimes I myself have to say, you know what, I need to unplug, and just view your surroundings and listen to see who's next to me or meet someone.
And that was the thing. I was gave a couple of sessions at Cheese Geeky on the power of Twitter chats, and I wasn't tweeting during the event, but other people were. Mm-hmm. And it's like when I'm attending an in-person event to talk to people, I want to talk to people. It's even hard here. I'm looking at you. I'm talking. I'm shaking my head. I'm tweeting.
Yeah.
but that's so key, to be present to what you're doing. Mm-hmm. So you can be doing a lot of things, but you schedule so when you're doing that thing, you're fully invested in it.
Exactly. Fully attention, full on. And that's what I try to, you structure it. So for example, I'm here, I have to put everything else off so I could really, respect that time that I have here, because if not, we get so sidetracked and I'm not giving Maria Kareen 100%.
Right. So, gosh, we're already past the half hour. You're listening to the Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy Faye Solomon. I have Maria Karim in the studio with me. It's Studio 132. We are talking about being a woman in a STEM career, and Maria is sharing her personal experience from early on in her education to entering into the technology field and getting an education. And you can follow us at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. And if you actually click to follow us there, you will get pinged for our upcoming talks, which we carry on weekly for the most part. Okay, so one of the things that we also meant to talk about is your current position. You are dealing with working remotely with the British Telecom. You're based here in California. And can you just speak to that and how you deal with not only just the time frame, but the different cultures, the way of operating, and how do you even handle clients who are across the world? It's one thing to be collaborating with a team, mm-hmm. but actually to be responsible for delivering directly to clients.
Yeah, so it's a delivery manager role, and I say it's an international project delivery manager role because, and thankfully, I was based out of New Jersey, and we have various offices around the world globally, and I was able to relocate here. So I work remotely, but we do have a San Francisco office right in the front of the Embarcadero, and I try to go there as often as I could to get out the home. And so it's fascinating that no matter where I'm at, as long as I have my laptop and I have internet access and I could VPN to my network, I could do my job with my cell phone, of course, making sure I have reception. I could do my job, which is amazing. Unless I have to be at a client's office or a face-to-face meeting, then that has to be scheduled. But it's really an amazing company that, you know, to foster and how we are able to deliver internationally, globally, learning those cultures. Like, for example, last night I had a client out in Singapore that I had to touch bases with. So it's really is not just a position that you're working to like a 9-to-5. It's really you're depending on what your requirements are for that project and where you're delivering it. You might have to pick up the phone and be up, whatever time of the day is, because I have that, you know, you have that commitment. And I do have other people who need are locally in that region that could do those phone calls for me. But a lot of times I do like to, you know, step in depending on the urgency or the criticality of certain deliveries. That, like last night, I made sure I called my contact out in Singapore, had a conversation to make sure things were on track. And so I do deal with the different time zones, either having to wake up really early in the morning to get into a UK call. And so it is a balance of, and I try to schedule my day where if I am having an early day where I have to have calls with the UK or different parts of the world, that I schedule it to make sure I do a lot in the morning, as early as 5 in the morning, and I kind of, you know, shut off at a certain point in the afternoon, and then, you know, you recharge and continue working and finish that day.
Wow. So it's a lot to manage. Plus, you're working out of, you know, various different offices?
Correct, yeah. So we have an office actually in Santa Cruz, and then we have the one, oh, I'm sorry, is it Santa Clara? And then we have the one in San Francisco. I've been trying to actually go there every Wednesday. I was going to go today. And so it is nice that we do have different locations to work out of, and you also have that liberty to work from home depending on your role.
Awesome. So it's a huge conglomerate, the British Telecom. So,
well, it's amazing that a lot of people, when like the BT, they don't know BT as people in the UK know BT,
right?
British Telecom, like where, you know, it's more not just business, but it's out there for the regular consumer, as like kind of like we have here in the United States, Sprint or Verizon. You know, BT is supplying bandwidth, you know, internet, cell phone coverage out in the UK, but they're really, you know, they're global. We do a lot of business, you know, with big companies, like for example, Visa, Credit Suisse, Procter & Gamble, some of my accounts. We just signed up for, you know, for example, BT Sports out in the UK. So it's amazing the realms of different areas that BT is and the things that they do. We had to bring your kid to work day last year, and I brought Abdul to the New York office, and we have a really nice office right on the New York Times building, and Abdul was so fascinating. He actually got to do a demo on Ralph Lauren's virtual fitting room, right, where you could virtually try on clothes and buy them. And he was like, "Mom, that is amazing!"
Awesome.
And these are the type of things that I say, if kids see what you could do with technology,
right.
It just triggers them. He's like, "Mom, I want to do that. Oh my God, that is so amazing!" And it was so funny that he knew how to work the system because it reminded him of the Xbox Kinect. He was
right.
Like, he didn't even need an instruction of how to do it. He was just like, he got in there like, "I'm like, do you have this at home?" I'm like, "No, this is just like the Kinect. That's why."
Right, so someone had shared She's geeky. I'm geeky because my 2-year-old walks up to the television and swipes it.
You know? Oh yes. It's crazy, right? What has come of us, right? With this technology, right in our fingertips, with the iPhones, and even my grandmother. I was so surprised she gets my iPhone. She's 80 years old, and she literally is trying to unlock my phone to check my pictures. And once I get her, when I allow her to unlock the phone, she's in there swiping, looking at pictures. I'm like, "Grandma, how did you do that?" She's like, "Texting." I'm like, "How do you know how to do this?" And it's so intuitive. So it's really great to be in this generation.
Awesome. Well, we've covered the board. We didn't spend enough time because the hour went so quickly, but thank you so much for the insights on mentorship, for sharing your story. So tell us what's next, Maria. I know you have these huge plans ahead, and you're so young to be so accomplished. So what's next for you? So I know you have your Twitter account is now set up at Karim Solutions, and I've been tweeting out to it. It's at KarimSolutions. And where else can people follow you?
I'm actually right on Instagram. It's MADILISSI. And it's also on LinkedIn. And my website, I think one of the best platforms to go to is www.mariakarim.com. And it's MARIAK as in kite, ARIM as in Mary.com. That is my married name. My maiden name is Maria Fernanda Vasquez. But it's so long. If I were to abbreviate that, Maria Fernanda Vasquez Karim, I would lose people. I will have to sigh, take deep breaths. So I did shorten it. It's Maria Karim. But for my Latina women out there is Maria Fernanda. And I definitely, one of the main things that, and I actually took next week off, is to really concentrate on what I want to do to pay it forward and to give back to the community and how more involved I could be. I'm at a stage of my life that there are certain things in place, and being out here in the East Bay, I must say, there's like a bug here, the entrepreneurial bug that just kind of stings you, and the energy here is amazing. I'm really inspired to pick up a lot of projects that have been that I've been working on, but really kind of give more attention to them and be involved in the community. So next week I took the week off to make sure I put everything that I'm doing on the website so you can stay up to date. Matter of fact, I just put up on my website a recap of the She's Geeky on Saturday, and I'll be finishing another recap for Sunday. So definitely stay tuned on things that I'm doing. I'm really coming out of my shell to really expose, women and girls out there that you could do it. You could juggle it. I did it. I'm not an alien. I'm nothing special, but you could do it.
Yes. Well, thank you for being an excellent role model. And you are special.
Thank you.
Really.
We're all special in our own way, yes. But the point is, anyone could do it. And I really hope that, people have that courage to keep moving forward, especially when things don't go right in startups. And I've seen a lot of frustration sometimes in women that, why isn't this happening or why? And I think if you keep positive, it definitely will come your way.
Keep positive and keep plugging.
Yeah, so one step, one connection at a time.
I love that quote. Thank you so much, Maria, for joining me in the studio. And next week, please tune in when Hemant Elhant, who is the CEO of Zinnerzip, will be joining us. He's the founder and chief executive officer of Zinnerzip, which addresses R&D expansion challenges faced by venture-backed software companies, specifically in their growth stages. So that will be a technical, interesting conversation. And so join us here. Next week he'll be calling in because he is based, I don't think he's in the Bay Area, so definitely join us. And the following week we will have the winner of the Edison Awards coming up, and that is an award for excellence and game-changing innovations that are at the front of new product and service development. So thank you for joining me on the Global Product Management Talk. Please follow us at Blog Talk Radio for the archives. That is blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. If you would like to speak on the broadcast or in person at a startup product meetup event, which, by the way, I just have to do a shout out to our new community in Medellin, Colombia, the innovation community. And shout out to Alejandro Rios Pina, who is bringing that community on board. And also a shout out to the new community in Asheville, North Carolina, that is coming to Silicon Mountain in Asheville by Ty Halleck. So if you are in those locations, check them out, or you can go to startupproduct.com under community meetups, find one near you or bring one to you. Thanks for joining us. This is Cindy Faye Solomon. See you next week and have a great one.
a cheat. I don't say what I mean. I used to care about the world around me. Lost to a thief on a dry winter leaf. I wouldn't know love if you found me.